Welcome back to Between the Bar Lines. I'm your host, Dr. Maeve Berry. Today, we finally stop talking about opera and switch gears to speak strictly about what was happening in the late 19th century in Germany. Some of our most popular and renowned composers that we still cherish today come from this time frame. The late 1800s in Germany were marked by political unification, industrialization, and a lot of cultural confidence. This atmosphere created the perfect environment for boundary pushing in composition. Music wasn't just entertainment at this time. It was also a symbol of cultural identity and even national pride. We can also add to this the large rise of public concert halls, the expanding middle-class audiences, and the debates about the future of music that were also happening at this time. Now, we can't start talking about this period without talking about Richard Wagner, whose influence, musically, culturally, politically, was impossible to escape. We have had a whole episode on him before because he was kind of grouped into that opera area, but if you missed that, go back and listen to it. But here's a little bit about Wagner. He revolutionized opera by creating what he called the Gesamtkunstwerk, or the total work of art. And if you're wondering more about what this means and some of the traits, go back a few episodes where I discuss him. Our next composer is Brahms, and he represented one of the conservative composers of the time, but I would say that's a really, really misleading label, because his music was extremely deeply innovative. The conservative marking, I think, comes from the fact that he worked within these classical forms of symphonies and concerti and chamber music. So where we had Wagner stretching tonal harmony to the breaking point, Brahms was actually expanding it from the inside, crafting this dense counterpoint and quite complex rhythm and a huge expressive lyricism. Some works that show this off are his symphonies number 1 through 4, his violin concerto, the German Requiem, and of course his chamber masterpieces, some of my favorites being the 3 violin sonatas, as well as the 2 clarinet sonatas that can also be played by viola. So this divide between a conservative Brahms and a liberal Wagner wasn't just musical, it also became ideological. Critics of the time framed it as, quote-unquote, the battle for the soul of German music. So it was this programmatic music versus absolute, and innovation versus, in a sense, tradition. So hovering between those two poles was another composer named Anton Bruckner. He was an Austrian that worked mostly in Germany. His music was mostly influenced by the fact that he was a very devout Catholic. So he infused his music and mostly his symphonies with this spiritualness that you don't really hear otherwise. So his orchestral writing was massive. We have monumental brass chorales, we have humongous dynamic arcs, and these symphonic structures that felt like extremely long journeys that we haven't had prior to that. Wagner actually admired Bruckner, and his critics sometimes unfairly portrayed him as a disciple of Wagner. But in reality, Bruckner, his musical voice, which was very solemn, yet expansive and architecturally structured, was very unique compared to the last two composers I mentioned. Next, we need to move on to the world of Lieder. So this German art song world of the late 19th century. And who better to start with than Hugo Wolf? Now, while he did compose some orchestral music, his legacy really does lie in the song cycles, in the songs that he composed that blend this textual sensitivity with almost a Wagnerian chromaticism that was compressed into these miniature forms, these songs. His Mörderlieder and Italian Songbook remain cornerstones of the repertoire, but he also has beautiful songs with text by Goethe and a bunch of other people like Eichendorff, who during this time were pivotal in the creation of art song. By the 1880s and 90s, there was a new star rising, and his name was Richard Strauss. Strauss was initially aligned with the Brahms camp, so this conservative building the form from within. But then he encountered Wagner's music and essentially became transformed. So Strauss has these tone poems that we know, Don Juan, Till Eulenspiegel, and Also sprach Zarathustra, and these became the models for vivid orchestral storytelling. Strauss was also a really cool composer, and the reason I'm grouping him kind of in this song area is because he also took all of this harmonic daring and lush orchestration that he had in all of these orchestral works, and later conquered works within the opera realm and also within the art song realm. So his operas like Salome and Elektra, which I'm finding every day, are really pushing the tonality to the breaking point and also paving the way for modernism in the 20th century. But he also has beautiful songs like Allerseelen that is so unbelievably tonal. And then we go to something like September by Strauss, and it's still tonal, but it has this orchestral lushness, and it's pushing tonality to very interesting areas that we haven't necessarily seen. So what overall in this late 19th century Germanicism were the trends that were shaping this era? Well, we have the rise of chromaticism and harmonic expression, and this was because of Wagner's influence. We have orchestral expansion. So these late romantic orchestras were growing bigger and bigger. We had more brass, more percussion, and therefore more color. We had this divide that we've talked about earlier in the episode of program music versus absolute music. So there was this debate about what was German music in a sense. Should it tell stories or should it just simply exist? We also had this overwhelming national identity in music. Germany was newly unified and its music became its culture. So overall, really awesome composers came out of this time and influenced what's going to happen next in Germany, lining up a little bit down the road, which is the transition into the 20th century, where we have modernism and even more daring composers trying out new things. In our next episode, we are going to be talking about a few composers that are pretty cool and the way that they created their music almost in a hybrid stylistic way. So if you're curious to know more about what that means, join me for the next episode of Between the Bar Lines.